This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan, tracking all of this NFL free agency business, especially relative to the Dallas Cowboys. Cole Beasley heads to Buffalo because there's more money there than the Cowboys could offer. And boy, that hits close to home with our next guest, one of our all-time favorite Dallas Cowboys, third-round pick in 2006. Left to go to the hated Redskins, but it was a business move. Joining us now in studio to talk about that and much more, again, one of our all-time favorites, the great Jason Hatcher.
Yeah. How you doing, Hats?
What up, fellas? Yeah. What up, man?
You're going to call us fellas? That's not what you call
it. Oh, you know.
You can say it.
You can say it. Yeah.
What's up, my local douchebags? These my brothers. We all douchebags.
That's right. That's right, man. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, is this your first interview you've done since you retired?
Yeah, you know, I strategically did this. I say, you know what? I'm going to take a couple years off, and then the first show is going to be the Ben and Skin Show because you douchebags are the best.
Yes! We did it!
We did it!
You're right. Pay me $20 later, Ben.
Yeah, we will. So what have you been doing since retirement then?
I've been doing a whole lot, man. You know, just raising my family, playing golf, starting a business, mentoring my nephew. He's coming out in the draft, Jeffrey Simmons out of Mississippi State. He just blew his knee out. Yeah, that's my nephew, by the way.
I did not know that. Nice.
Yeah, he bad. But yeah, just mentoring him through the whole process, man. And like I say, starting a new company. Don't want to go into what I'm doing right now, but it's going to be special. I got a lot going on, man.
That's Dude, great. You look like you could still play. I mean, you're keeping yourself in great shape, right?
Yeah, I sent Jerry a video the other day. Hell, Jerry, call me back, man.
You don't want that life anymore, do you?
No, I'm focusing on the treadmill. Okay. I'm standing on the trail. You didn't see the video?
No.
Oh, you got to see the video. I'm not. I'm just showing them that I can run and stuff. I ain't trying to hit nobody.
Are you trying to be a tight end now? Are you trying to be one of these down the field tight ends?
Oh, absolutely not. I'm trying to stand in one place.
Okay, so I got to ask you this in all seriousness. So are you just doing cardio or are you still lifting a lot of weights?
I lift. I still squat. I still squat heavy and stuff like that. But the main thing is just stress-free, man. You know, just not giving a crap about small things.
Right.
And you live a happy life, man. Stress free. You know, don't worry about the small things because it's going to take care of itself.
You put yourself in a position to be your own boss.
Absolutely.
That's the American dream. That's it in a nutshell.
Thank you, Redskins. Absolutely. That's why I went to the most hated organization, you know, when it comes to the Cowboys. That's why I went to put myself in a position because I don't like people telling me what to do.
Right.
Yeah. And hey, team leader in the locker room for the Cowboys, always one of our favorite guys to talk to and very successful on the defensive line for the Cowboys. You do take the deal to go to the Redskins and people are like, hey, I hope you tear your ACL, hope your plane crashes, hope you die, all that stuff,
yeah,
right?
Man.
So you can relate to what Cole Beasley's probably going through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But shout out to Cole Beasley, man. You got to feed your family. At the end of the day, when you can't pay your bills, nobody going to talk about you then, you know? So he doing what's best for his family. I know as far as like a fan aspect, you want to always criticize us. But, you know, the bill's still coming after you get done playing. And if you beat up, you know, it's hard to go out and find a job that you can make the type of money you can make in the NFL. It's not going to happen. I'm still trying to search, you know, other than selling drugs or something like that, which I'm not going to do that. But, yeah.
Nate Newton tells you not to do that. Big Nate will tell you that's a bad thing to do.
Get your money, man. I respect. Shout out to Cole Beasley.
Do you think this Jason Hatcher joining us on the Ben and Skin Show? So we say this on our little show all the time, but maybe we're wrong. You'll have a better perspective. Do you think the NFL system, I feel like there's distrust between the players and the owners. Do you think it's broken or do you think it needs big overhaul or do you think we're just kind of overreacting and it's fine as it is?
I think it's broken. I played there before. I think, and don't say that, not in a racial way. It's a slave owner type deal.
Right.
And I think like AB really like, If you're a smart player, like you looking at AB and like, dang, I didn't think I had that much power.
Right.
Like what AB did, I didn't know. If I would have knew that, I would have been talking crap to Jerry and everybody.
Right.
But
right.
He's showing the world like these players got power. Like you just can't run over a player like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And then try to ship him to Buffalo. Don't nobody want to go to Buffalo.
But no offense, Cole.
Thank you, Cole Beasley.
No offense,
yeah. Get your money, man. But yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But yeah. And he tried to ship him to Buffalo, and then he turned around and said, I'm going to retire. and they bagged away. That's empowerment to me, man. And I think that's awesome for AB doing. I know on the outside that fans hate him, but as a player and you know the business inside and out, like, they do not give a care about you, man. I really think all the money should be guaranteed just like basketball. That's just my opinion. If y'all understand what we really go to, and I'm not the type to complain.
Right. And in terms of what you put your bodies through,
absolutely.
Have you, like, walk us through for you, for your career. How old were you when you retired? 31, 32?
32.
Okay, 32 when you retired. Tell us about what life's like for you physically these days.
When I first retired, man, life was, man, my body was beat up. Like, as I played my last 2 years in Washington on one leg. So I was beat up, like, mentally, physically. People don't understand, like, what you go through. Like, your body, like, we so trained to, like, beat our body up that mentally it mess with you and you don't even know. Like, it mess with your mood, you know. Just like the, what's the tight end from
Marty
the Patriots?
Oh, Gronk.
Gronk. Gronk said that, but the players only can relate. Like, if you run your head into a wall 24/7, mm-hmm. it's going to affect your mood. Like, I had times where I'm just down in a dump and don't know why, because my body is physically jacked up. My head is hurting, and people don't see that. All they see, before they get to the athlete, they don't see the family, man. They don't see what we go through. They only see they making $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be like that. We are human. We're not freaking machines. That's what the fans got to understand. And if you want to get close to a player, treat him like a human being and not like a machine.
Talking to Jason Hatcher here on the Ben Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. How, from when you got your big contract with Washington, the one that put you in position to retire at 32 mm-hmm. and do those sort of things, did you know how to deal with the money that was coming your way? Or did you have to, like, did you have agents helping you? Or did you already have a pretty good head on your shoulders and know how to do it? Because a lot of guys get money and then it's gone. Because it's, if you never had it, you don't know how to manage it.
Right. I had a, you know, I was married coming into the league. But at the same time, you should have saw where I came from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't want to go back there.
Right.
So I wasn't a big spender. Like, right now, I probably wear two of these. I'm wearing these stuff every day.
Yeah.
You know, I'm wearing them every day. So I'm not a big spender. I just don't want to go back to where I came from. And of course, I got 5 kids. So
right.
I was always, you know, mature ahead of my time because I came in married with kids already.
What is that age range on the kiddos?
Oh, from 19 to... 2 months. I got 2 months.
Oh, congrats.
Yeah, man. Trying to get my sleep.
I bumped into you one time at a select baseball tournament.
Yep.
One of your kiddos was playing baseball,
uh-huh.
right?
Yep.
So what is it like for you being a pro athlete, a former pro athlete, and having gone through everything you've gone through to see the way that sometimes parents react at youth sporting events? Do you ever get drawn off sides? Do you ever start yelling at umpires or refs?
You, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a parent, man. And I kind of, you know, I'm not the type of parent to live through my kids, but sometimes these refs, they do some stuff that kind of make you mad. You know, I've been kicked out of basketball games. You know, I've been warned at baseball games. It's just who you are. You want your kid to do good and you don't want the refs to kind of screw them over in a sense, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite youth sport to watch? Like, is it always football for you? Like, hoops,
no,
baseball?
I like hoops. I like hoops. I like baseball. I just got into baseball actually when I retired. My son got into it. I didn't know nothing about it. But it's a cool sport. Baseball is cool, man. So I'm just trying to keep him in that. So, you know, if he, God bless him to make him to the next level, he could play that for a long time.
Yeah.
Because he's one of those kids that have to be doing something. He loves sports.
We are talking to former Dallas Cowboy Jason Hatcher here on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. So DeMarcus Lawrence plays last year under the franchise tag. This year, the Cowboys, they've been unable to get a deal done. Now, there's, you know, he's back on the franchise tag again. He's got a torn labrum he's going to have surgery on. That's going to take a while. Did you ever have that, by the way?
Never had.
So that's going to take a while to come back from. So now there's this fascinating negotiation tap dance going on. What do you make of what's going on with D-Law?
I think the business side of it, they playing his shoulder to their advantage. And they don't have to pay him right now because they're making him feel like, oh, you know, other teams not going to like you. But at the end of the day, I think D-Law know his worth. He know he's one of the best premier pass rushers in this league. He's been double digits over, what, the last 2 years, mm-hmm. 3 years? And that's mm-hmm. hard to do.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. 1 year is hard to do. So I think he got to understand his worth and let the business part play out. But right now, he shouldn't have nothing to worry about. Now, if I was him, I wouldn't sign the franchise tag. I would sit there and see what they wanted to do. If not, shop me around, let me go.
Because
he played enough to get paid. They shouldn't even. I think he should be paid over Dak, in my opinion, right now.
Would you be?
What it is.
Wow. Would you over the quarterback?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Would you be willing to, if you're him, would you be willing to just sit this year out?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, it goes back to AB. You got power now. You got power. You don't have to, like, just look what they're doing to him with his shoulder, right? Mm-hmm. He should have been had a long-term deal. But now he go, everybody going to get hurt in football. What have you done for me lately? That's the kind of way the league works. So, absolutely, I would sit out. Because you got to know your worth at the end of the day. Le'Veon Bell, he going to come back and get paid. Mm-hmm. He sit a whole year out, which is actually good. You can heal up, and long as you don't go out and waste time and, you know, stay trained, you come back even better.
Mm-hmm. But you lose that money. You can't ever recoup that money, right?
That's okay. He played off one franchise tag. If he took care of his money, he's good.
Yeah.
So now he got the power, too.
It is the second franchise
tag. I think I'm spending too much wisdom, man. I don't think NFL team going to like me. Ben and Skin, Jerry going to call you up. And don't let Hatcher back on that show again. You hear me?
Well, no, I'm enjoying all this. What I want to go to. So, trying to remember all this. You led the team in sacks as an interior guy one year.
Yeah.
Is that the year before you signed with Washington?
Yeah.
11. Okay. So, as a guy who's done it and gotten numbers on the inside, I want to hear your thoughts on David Irving.
David Irving. Matter of fact, if David, you listen to this, me, you need to start a podcast. We'll talk later. But yeah, I think with David Irving, I think I respect him for that, you know, because at the end of the day, you're human and you're entitled to your own opinion and your own decisions. And I know everybody looking at him like he's a pothead, but at the end of the day, the guy don't want people telling him what to do, you know, and you should be able to live your life like that without scrutiny. You know, I know for a fact, I don't give a crap who don't care about. If I want to do something in this room, I don't care what nobody think. And I commend him on that. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully he have a backup plan. Hopefully he didn't invested in the marijuana industry.
would you tell him, though? Would you be like, hey, David, just go get one big contract. Just suck it up for one big contract.
Yeah, and I think I would have, but I don't know what happened to his inner circle. Just looking at him, I don't feel like he had, at the same time, I don't feel like he had the right people around him that he respected, that if they said something to him, that he give it any thought. Because I think that was a kind of like a, because he got the ability to make $100 million if he wanted to.
He's got the ability. Ben and I talk about this all the time. I never once sensed that you at least didn't love football. Like, I felt like you were giving it your all.
Absolutely.
Like, and with Irving, it's like, does this guy even want to be here? Does he even care about football?
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to tell.
Exactly, yeah. Like,
and that's hard to pay.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you pay Jason Hatcher, he's going to give it everything he's got. But you don't know about that with David Irving.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, I get it. But on the outside looking in, I don't know, like, what happened to make this all transpire. I wish I knew. But, I mean, I commend them, you know. Smoke all the pot you want to, man.
Do your life. Thing.
All right. I want to ask you about Jason Garrett. So, coming up next, we're going to get the truth on Garrett?
Absolutely.
Unless
Garrett, I still love you, man.
He listens.
He's tuned in right now. Coming up next, we'll get Jason Hatcher's thoughts on Jason Garrett. He's in studio with us. Hatch is back right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Joining us now in studio, one of our all-time favorite Dallas Cowboys, the great Jason Hatcher, defensive lineman. Went and got paid in Washington, but still a media favorite, a fan favorite, and a teammate favorite. We're getting some of your former teammates are texting us saying, hey, tell Hatch I said what's up. And somebody else said, Hatch better keep it real when talking about JG. That's what we teased. So what are your thoughts on Jason Garrett?
Oh, man. You know what, man? It's from the outside looking in, everybody, I'm just going to keep it real. Everybody want to get mad at Jason Garrett. But you look at it, when you got, like, the boss on your side and you – it's more personal than business. Like, what would you do? Like, if I had $25 million and I, you know, basically sucking it up, right? Like, I'm not going to go and tell my boss to fire me. I'm going to ride it out and make the money. So at the end of the day, he's just doing what he's supposed to do to provide for his family. But it's definitely time for him to move around. You know, mm-hmm. he definitely ain't been doing, you know, what they paid him to do. You know, so it's time. And that's why they hadn't, you know, restructured his deal. This is show me. Year for him. He got all the pieces in place. And hopefully Dak come through for him.
All right. Hopefully Dak comes through. And that's what you need, right? Because you get a young quarterback, you don't want to lose him. When you watch this Cowboys team play, do you think with what they're doing schematically or offensively or however you want to deem it, do you think they're putting him in the best position to succeed? Or should the Cowboys be doing more with their offense?
Yeah, I think they should be doing a lot more. Like, at the end of the day, I mean, I love Dak to death. I want him to get his money, but realistically to me, as a football player, he really hadn't showed me. I think he the one should be getting a franchise tag over D-Law. That's just my opinion. Like, they should be, like, franchising him and make him prove himself like Jason Garrett. But I don't know. It feel like they covering up a lot. Like, give him the playbook. You're going to pay him some money. Give him the playbook and let him go see what he can do. Like, don't hide him. Like, I feel like for me, watching them, what they do, they kind of hiding him.
Yeah, so I want to hear more about that. Are you talking about the idea that, hey, it's a run-first offense, they're not asking him to win games necessarily? He is good at coming back and winning games when they need to, but they're not winning games riding a quarterback's arm, is what
you're
saying.
Right, and if it wasn't for Zeke, right, you take Zeke out the equation, then you ask yourself, okay, do I really like Dak that much without Zeke? Ask yourself that. Have you done enough? If Zeke go down, you need a game to win the play to get to the playoffs. Can Dak get you there without 21 in the backfield? That's from a business aspect. I'm looking at that like, okay, I don't really know if he can do it, but I don't know if it's Jerry and him not giving him the playbook, not seeing what he really can do, because he really inconsistent on his passing. You know, he can't really put balls in windows and stuff like that. And I'm not criticizing. I'm just telling the truth of what I watch Cowboys faithfully. He can't throw the balls that need to be thrown to show me that he's a franchise quarterback. That's just my opinion.
From the time you walked in the door with the Dallas Cowboys till the time you left and went to Washington, how much did Romo grow over that time, or do you think he was borderline? I mean, guys get better, but was he close enough to a finished product from the time you walked into the door, or do you think he got way better and during your span of being there with the Cowboys?
Yeah, he got a lot better. He got a whole lot better. He could throw all the balls, but Romo just didn't have the it factor to make people around him better. I think when I was there, I think he was bigger than the team. It was like Romo and then the team. Like, nobody in the locker room gonna really respect you like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I really don't respect him as a player, you know, based on what he did to the team. A lot of people didn't see. He was a great player. He got all the numbers, but Dak, I'll take Dak over Romo any day, because Dak have the ability to make people around him better. Like, you'll run through a wall for Dak, but Romo, hell no.
Oh, okay.
That's just what it is.
I want to hear more about this. So how do you mean make people better around him?
Like, Romo was thinking, he was kind of like feeling like he was like a Brett Favre. And I'm like, dude, you ain't did nothing. Like, what have you done? Like, you got your own little space that you leave. Don't come in the locker room and interact with your teammates. Would you call yourself a leader? Nah, partner, it don't work like that. But a lot of people don't know that. So y'all got me on here. You asked me for the
I want to hear it. What is this space?
I really don't care about how nobody feels. I'm just telling you the truth. He got great numbers. Trust me. But he's had so many opportunities. Like, if I was a GM, Romo do not have the ability to make people around him like want to go and want to play for him.
I see. You're talking about leadership.
Leadership, by the way.
Is that something where, as a player, you can address it, or you just stay out of it?
I mean,
when you were in that locker room,
they had a big write-up. I jumped on his butt.
You did? What? Remind me.
It was after the Kansas City reminder. At the Kansas City game, it was supposed to just be us. And I kind of jumped on him like, you got to do more. Like, I don't want to hear every day we got to keep chopping wood. I don't want to hear that. Like, do something. Let's hang out. Let's get to know each other. Like, don't come and after you done chill with Jerry, go to Duke, you know, in the press box with him, and then come down here and try to relate to people that's about the players. Like, I don't respect nobody like that. I'll take Dak any day over that. And Dak right now will win your championship way before Romo. That's just my opinion.
Wow. And you just said that. You said that right after you said Dak hadn't shown you enough to really get paid,
right?
Because they're hiding him.
Just think about right now how freaking hard that defense play. You know why? Because they respect their leader. That's why. It's a difference. Tom Brady, they have the it. You know, the guy up in San Diego, Phillip Rivers, mm-hmm. they got the it. They real people. You can relate to them. They in the locker room. Tom Brady, he treat the freaking janitor like he treat the boss. Like, that's what set fire. That's why people love me to this day. My teammates call me right now. It ain't nobody I can't get on the phone with. Everybody respect me. Because I'm in the same fire you in. Like, I'm not going to go chill with the owner and the coaches. That ain't my place. I'm a team player. I'm about the players. And that's why Romo lost the team. That's why he didn't have absolutely no respect. Maybe for Witten and all the other guys, the guys that was up there making all the money. You know, they put them in the group. Before, it's like the real people that go to war, the real authentic people, no respect at all.
It is. This Jason Hatcher on the Ben and Skin Show. It is real interesting that one of the
reasons.
Don't
get quiet.
No, this is good. One of the reasons Dak did ascend so quickly is because he was connecting with, and this was written about a lot.
Thank you.
He was connecting with all these guys, and yes. Romo was off rehabbing.
Yes.
So it's like, it's almost like, well, like the guy goes off to war and the wife falls in love with the guy who's around all the time, you know?
Right.
So there's the metaphor for you. Yeah. But Dak does seem to have that ability to relate to everybody.
Absolutely. And another thing, like, I don't want to take a whole lot away from Dak. I feel like Dak and his desire to want to get better, I'll bet on him any day. Mm-hmm. Right now, he still got a ways to go.
Right.
But hell, he 4 years in, like, whatever you want to do in your business, I think he'll give you the better chance because he's going to work faithfully in and out to throw, put all the balls in the windows like he can't do. You know, he got time.
Mm-hmm. I love this. You're spitting fire, just like you said you were. Okay, so while you're got the flamethrower out, let's talk about Dez Bryant. Thoughts?
Shout out to Dez. That's my dog, man. Dez living a good life, man. He's happy in a good space. I hope the Saints bring him back. I'm going to give him an 88 jersey. I think Dez, and another thing, like Dez was in that same like authentic people like I'm telling you about, right? Like, if you on a team you know that's BSing, and they giving the media like they really trying to win, and you see they trying to break records and set this person up for a record, and it's and winning is like the second on the totem pole. Like you gonna get mad like Dez.
Wait, what record? What are you talking about?
Oh man, I'm not going in there.
Wait,
man.
I thought you were spitting fire. What happened?
But I'm just saying, like, I'm not calling nobody out, but I've seen us lose games because guys had to get records.
Like what?
You know, I'm not calling no names. They flew people family in, and we lost. I'm going to just say we lost against Atlanta.
Okay. I'm having a hard time remembering the exact
okay. Yeah, right. Okay. Y'all do your research after this.
My research is going to be me asking you during the commercial break.
No, I'm not telling you. But just like when you see
– Joey over here.
When you see like winning is not the number one priority, you're going to blow up like this. It's times that I'm a real good dude, but it's times I really just wanted to like – F-bomb everybody, including the people at the top when I was there. Because it's bull crap. It's a circus at sometimes. Like, let's focus on winning. But I think at the same time, the Cowboys brand has outgrown football, if it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think so.
It ain't about football anymore. It's hard to focus on football because all the other components you have around you,
right,
before you even get to Sundays, you'd have went around the world on a damn tour.
Okay, so let me ask you this. I like where this is going because we all think that Jerry wants to win, but Jerry has so many things going on.
Yes.
There's, you know, the biggest stadium, and then there's the real estate and all this stuff. But how does Garrett fit into this? Because from the outside looking in, I think Garrett is not all about the tour around the world and all this. He's about the football. But I don't know how – why is it that Garrett gets cut so much slack from the Joneses? And he seems to be at odds with this philosophy of, hey, let's get all these actors in here and all this
stuff. Yeah, because he – Garrett is good at like keeping the real the truth away from the public.
Mm-hmm.
So he get up there every Sunday, you know, he chew his gum with his you know, with his hand folded up. I bet in his head he'd be like, "This is some crap," but he go up there and he know what to say to make you keep believing. Just like Jerry,
mm-hmm.
every year, like the Cowboys sell hope. Every year they sell hope. They go get this big time receiver and everybody bought in. Like, oh my God, it's the Cowboys. But let's get to winning. Focus on winning. The Cowboys brand is bigger than football.
Mm-hmm.
Until they stop worrying about the other crap and come in here and focus on winning football games, they'll win. They always have. We'd have had Super Bowl teams every year. But you know what? The Cowboys brand, all the stuff you had to go through, by the time you get to football, you're like, this is not really nothing. This is a joke.
Really? Wow. You felt that way while you were here?
Absolutely.
I love that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So people want to know what's wrong with the Cowboys? That's what's wrong with the Cowboys.
All right. Let me ask you this. Boy, you are spitting hot fire. So players have told me before that they just think that both schemes are super predictable. We saw in the playoff game against the Rams, Cowboys got run all over. It looked like they just had the Cowboys number, knew what they were going to do. We've heard that from players in the past on the offensive side that'll tell you, hey, man, we'd get to the line of scrimmage. The other team is calling out our route.
Mm-hmm.
Corner that's guarding me is calling out the route I'm about to run. It's like, what am I supposed to do? It's too predictable. But it seems on both sides of the ball to a degree that they believe that, hey, go beat the man in front of you and that should be good enough. Do you think that coaching and schematically has held those issues, have held the Cowboys back?
I'm going to speak from the defense side of ball first. I think that The Tampa 4-3 defense, I think that's what it's designed for. You look when Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl and they had Sapp and all them boys, Simeon Rice, they had Pro Bowlers across the board. That's the way that's the way that defense is designed. You got to have Pro Bowlers and great players in every spot, right? Mm-hmm. And then you just beat the man in front of you, penetrate, you play hard, bump and run, or whatever you play. But on the offensive side, I think they could do a lot better. Like, I think they want it. Like, everybody trying to, like, pass the buck. Like, I don't want this to come down on me, so I'm going to do just enough. You know, I think Garrett and them should have did more by giving him more responsibility. You know, so if it boils down to, you know, a bad season, it's going to go on Dak. Mind you, it's still the same way I was there. No, everybody's scared in the Cowboys. When I was there, everybody's scared of accountability. They do not like it. They hate it. It's just go up there and say, I freaking did it. I did it.
Okay, let me ask you this. Someone texted this in, and I was like, it's a great question. Did you guys, the team, and the defensive line, I felt like was closer to Wade than anybody.
Yeah.
Did you guys quit on Wade the year that y'all started 1-7?
Oh, you want me to get started on Wade? Okay, let me tell you something, man. Let me tell you something. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. I saw Jason Garrett sabotage this man.
You believe that?
Absolutely. We ran three freaking plays. Before this, we went 13-3, right?
Mm-hmm.
They called it Camp Cupcake.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what the media say. We was flying around. We was out of pads in week 7. We was beating people head in. Now you go in Camp Cupcake. Now we go in and do what Wade don't want to do. We get in pads. We beat each other down. We tired. We not fresh. And then you go and call 3 and 4 plays to this man get fired. Guess who was the interim head coach?
It was Jason. Right.
My point exactly.
We've heard
I
this
love
before.
You, Gary.
Yeah, we've heard this theory.
This is not the first time.
That's the truth, man.
Right.
And I witnessed that. And it's hard for me to, like, respect. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Hold on. Can we do one more?
Yeah.
Can you stick around for one more segment? we need to get into this.
Y'all finna have to pay me. Hey.
Hey, T, open your wallet.
Minimum wage right now.
You
every
got one
minute.
More, right?
Can
we have one
you.
More, Joey? All right, we got
over
one.
Time.
We're just scratching the surface here. Coming up next, we can't put this fire out.
I told y'all I was going to give y'all a show, man.
We can't put the fire out.
That's why people don't like me, man.
I love you.
I beat myself all the time.
Jason Hatcher on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan.
Oh, it is getting hot in here. All right. Coming up next, we'll talk more with Hatch and keep this party going. And by the way, if you're a Cowboy fan, have your friends tune in immediately to 105.3 The Fan.
He needed to go, but we insisted that he stay one more segment because this is too good. You've spit the truth about a lot of different things here, but I want to really get into that whole dynamic of that final year with Wade. I want to make sure I understand this because as a guy watching the screen, I feel like I'm watching guys quit. And then Jason takes over the team. And Ben and I talked about this. There have been guys before that have said, hey, Garrett sabotaged so he could get the job.
Absolutely.
But what I can't wrap my brain around, and I'm not in the locker room, is like, well, how do these guys, though, that love Wade, how do they look like on the field they quit on Wade? Do you follow what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
like help me understand
when,
this.
When you know the truth and what's going on, uh-huh. you're like, why in the hell are we running three plays on offense?
Mm-hmm.
And then to know the truth after Wade get fired, you open up the playbook, we start scoring points. You witness, right?
Yeah. Like you guys went 5-3 after that.
It was just so you get a coach, right? You get a coach that kind of like got you molded into the way to do things.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is way, like we are so happy that we out of pads in week 7. We was kicking people head in.
Right.
Right? So you get in, now all of a sudden they call it Camp Cupcake. We went 13-3. What are you worrying about Camp Cupcake for? We did the same thing the year before and went 13-3.
Right.
But now we got to bang and beat each other up. So now we already know like what they're doing the way, the real people. Now you go from, okay, scoring all these points the first year to barely putting the ball in the end zone. Hell, we barely had first downs. The defense stayed on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you sabotage him. After that, you know, you start scoring points and you get the job.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely, like from that standpoint, like a person like that can't get success like that. I don't know if it came from Jerry or Jason, but both of them in the wrong. Like God don't like ugliness. Like you're not gonna have no success like that doing people like that. And I don't respect it.
Right. You think Wade realized what was going on?
Absolutely.
Or?
Wade never said Wade a big teddy bear, man. That's my guy, man. He loved his players. The one thing that stuck out with me, he was like, man, he used to tell us before every game. Your mistakes is mine. In practice, your mistakes wasn't, but in the game, your mistakes is mine. Think about as a player how free you are. That's player friendly. Like you can go out there. I can make 100. You're not trying to make mistakes, but you're entitled to make some mistakes and not beat yourself.
Right.
Because you know a great coach got you. So, yeah, shout out to Wade, man. I'm sorry to happen to you. You know, I'm telling you a story, man.
All right, Jason Hatcher in studio with us on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. All right, I want to ask you about this. There's a story I've always wanted to hear. The time Jerry Jones stood in front of the team with the New York Times newspaper. Can you tell that story?
I don't remember that story. I don't.
Okay.
What was it about?
We were told to tell that story.
What was it about? Let me know.
I don't know.
All right. I don't remember that. I don't remember that. That story too much. But I saw, yeah.
I'll get some more information and follow up.
Yeah.
What kind of a dude was Jay Ratliff?
Jay Ratliff was, he was a, yeah, shout out to Jay, man. Jay, you know, Jay is Jay, man. He a different dude, man.
He's scary.
He is, man. He still scares me to this day, man. It's one dude you don't want to mess with him, bro. And it's like some people act bad and crazy, but Jay Ratliff is Jay Ratliff, man. Like right now, if you walk up on him, you better be like, "Hey Jay, it's me."
So listen,
because he might snap out. You know, that's just him though.
My first year of like going into the locker room and grabbing audio, it was a bad year and things weren't going well, and I didn't really know about Jay, and so he was at his locker after a game, and I was like, "All right, I'm gonna ask a really good question here." So I walked up. Imagine you just lost a game.
Yeah.
He's got like 6 or 7 reporters around him. And I said, Jay, I have a question. Is this team undercoached or overhyped? And he looked at me like he was going to kill me.
Oh, yeah.
I walked up. I was like, I was probably in danger, wasn't I?
There
was
absolutely.
Like, there was like 7 seconds where you guys were just looking at each other. And I think you're just like, is he going to, what's going on? I don't know what to say.
I'm going
to
tell you, when me and Jay really became like best friends, I felt like I had to be his friend. Like one time him and Jerry got into it and he picked Jerry up and slammed it against the wall and didn't get fired.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm hanging out with this guy all the time. That's my dude here. That's my dude.
Who did he pick up?
Jerry.
He picked up Jerry?
Oh, you don't.
Did you know that story?
I didn't. I knew that. I thought I always heard that he shoved him or something.
Wait, don't put your hand on him, man. Don't
tell
put your
that
hand
story.
On him. That's all I'm going to do, man, because I don't want Jay to come out to me, man. I love you. Jay, if you listening, man, I really love you, man, and I miss you. Hope everything is good, man.
All right, well, wait.
Yeah.
And we, too, would like to say we love you, too, and we hope you're doing well.
Yeah, you want to take it out on anything? Take it out on being a skin.
No.
Honestly, Jay, I'll never ever see you again, so I don't care.
Oh!
No. Hey, so what is the craziest thing that you ever saw in that locker room?
Oh, man. No, I could talk all day about that, man.
Give me the top 5 craziest things you ever saw in that locker room.
Wow. I'm gonna tell you one. This is a true story. Charles Haley.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Charles Haley, it's a long story short. Like, we were just sitting there. He just came out the shower, like, butt naked.
Okay.
And just walked. Like, I guess he thought he was still playing. And then I was like, it was like my rookie year. And he came out, like, I was like, what this old dude doing walking through the locker room with no clothes on? So I went to the trainers and he came in there. Me and him kind of got into it a little bit. And I asked, I was like, who is this dude? I don't know who he is. I kind of had words with him. He's like, yeah, that's the kind of stuff he used to do when he played. I was like, wow.
You had words with Haley when that happened?
No, after that. I'm not going to have words with a guy naked. No. This was after. He came in, he was talking about my school. And I was like, man, F you, man. I don't know who you are. They was like, do you know who this is? It's Charles Haley. I said, I don't give a F who it is. You know, I'm a man like him. But anyway,
yeah.
That's one of the funniest things. Yeah, I think he's probably still doing that because I think he still want to play.
Yeah. He's around.
He can't play, though. Look at it. He
just walking out of the shower like that?
Just swinging everywhere, man. Oh, my God.
But where
you know, you don't want to look, but it's just like when he came out, I kind of looked at his junk a little bit.
Yeah. But yeah.
I still got that image in my head, man.
I guess my question is, there's no locker for him, so where's he going?
No, he had his own locker. It was close to Jay Ratliff's.
Oh, he had a locker in the locker room?
Yeah, he had like an open locker with his clothes and stuff in there, and he used to work on pass rush and stuff with us. But after that day, I was like, dude, you know, you can show me this stuff, but don't like grab my arms, because I don't know if you've been grabbing your junk or whatever, but yeah. Yeah, he had his own locker, man. It was crazy.
Okay, somebody brought this up. Somebody texted me this point about the Wade Phillips thing with the Garrett, that the defense was giving up 24 points per game in the 5 games before that point. So was the defense on a downhill slide at that point too?
Everybody was affected. Everybody was affected. You saw we had something good, right?
Mm-hmm.
You brought in T.O. Was that T.O.?
T.O. came in at the end of Parcells.
At the end of Parcells. Yeah. He was with
Wade. And then he carried over.
Right? So he the one got Romo paid that year, right? Uh-huh. He had a great year. Yeah, but you can see like the whole dynamic of what we had created that first year. We had something going.
Y'all were 13-3. I think that was 08 or...
Yeah, something like that. You knew.
Yeah, I thought we were like, hey, the Cowboys are back. They're the best team in football.
And we was going into the season like, we about to be so fresh. When we got done with that 13-3 season, I know we lost, but
that was the Giants loss in the playoffs.
But we could have played to the Super Bowl at a high level.
Yeah,
and then you go back and you change the whole dynamic of the team because the media said it was a camp cupcake.
Right.
So be it. So it affected everybody. It affected everybody. Now you got to go. It's just like changing coaching staffs.
Did you guys feel like Wade was being undercut and he...
Absolutely, absolutely.
How did Wade handle that?
Wade, he's not going to say nothing, but you knew Wade. Wade, he's a professional. That's why you see everywhere he go, he's successful. Mm-hmm. Because the good Lord saw what he went through and he going to show Garrett and them, you know what you did to him? I'm going to show you. He's going to go to the Broncos and win a Super Bowl. Go to St. Louis and almost win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. What have y'all done? It's something about this man. If you're going to sabotage him, why did you do it? Who that fall on?
Right. And so, are you a Marinelli guy?
Absolutely. That's my guy.
That's your guy?
Absolutely. He's just like me. Like, he's going to tell you, he come up here, he's going to tell you the truth. His truth, at least.
What was your nickname? He likes nicknaming guys.
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
Yeah, he like, I really like, I don't know. He had me, like, so, like, bought in. I had to go Google this dude called Big Daddy. He used to wear, like, mink coats and stay out all night and chase women. I didn't chase the women, but I kind of like, you know, watch some film on him, try to be like him. I didn't chase women, man.
Right. No, I know. I'm just wondering.
But yeah.
So it's more about the fur coat.
Yeah, the fur coat and the limos. Stuff like that, and just hanging out, you know, and drinking booze and stuff like that. So I really, like, bought into that character and try to be the best Big Daddy I could, and it worked out.
Do you have any NFL regrets?
Not at all. Not at all.
That's a beautiful thing.
I really got everything I wanted out the NFL. My main thing, I wanted the money because I had a lot of kids and they had to eat and they eat a lot. They eat a whole lot. So I knew that's why I wanted the money. And then I wanted to make a Pro Bowl. I wanted to, you know, lead my position in sacks. And I did it 1 year. And after that, and I won the Super Bowl. But 2 out of 3, you know, God been good to me, man. So I really can't complain. That's why I lead the game. Like, people have to tell me that I played. I'm so disconnected from the game. Like, you Jason Hatch from the Cowboys. I was like, oh, shoot, I did play for the Cowboys. You know, I'm like a regular dude. I feel like a regular dude. I'm so disconnected from the game. I'm not the type of person, like, to I tell people this all the time. Like, with the NFL, this is the way I approached it. If you had a pretty girl in your life, you know, and you know, like, within 3 to 10 years, she's going to leave you. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to take her around to your homeboys. You're going to show off. You're going to get everything you want out of her. Because, you know, she leaving you, right? That's how I approach the game, you know? I looked at the game like, one day it's going to leave me. I'm going to get whatever I can out of it. And then when it leave me, I'm good. Yeah. That's the way I approached it.
You're just like a regular guy now.
Absolutely.
But you're 6'5", 260, shredded.
And sexy. don't forget that. Don't forget them words right
All
there.
All right. So in terms of what the Cowboys could do to be successful, if Jerry came to you and said, hey, man, I heard you talking on Bennett Skin. Jerry listens.
Okay.
And he said, hey, I heard you talking. I like what you're saying. Would you mind being a consultant? Just tell me how we can make sure the Cowboys can be better off in the future. What advice would you give Jerry?
I would say, hold everybody accountable. Like, if it's on you, it's on you. Like, don't hide. And I would say, like, kind of just let, like, stop focusing on the Cowboy brand and focus on winning. And get back to winning football because you got too much going on. Like, go and run your business, Jerry. Hire you a good GM and go whatever you want to do. Your yacht, whatever you want to do. But don't let what's going on around, you know, cover up winning, because guys, they'd put a good football team together, man. They really got a lot of potential in that football team. But the BS business side of it is it's always the number one killer. If you could just step away and hold everybody accountable, let Dak run the team. Just step away. Let Dak be the GM and see how far they get you.
I feel like Steven does a good job, though.
Steven does, but you got Jerry. What are you going to say to Jerry?
Hey, Dad, what's up?
If he say, I don't want it this way, what do you think you're going to do?
Right.
Now, I got a lot of respect for him.
I feel like Steven does a good
job. Me and him, like, we do. He does a great job. But I'm just saying, like, as far as, like, what Jerry brings to the table, like, it's a lot going on, man. I swear. It's like, it's America team. Like, I'm tired. I'm not calling it America's team.
It is America's team.
No, it ain't.
Like, Why not?
If anybody, America's team is the Patriots. Like, what have
I
you?
I can't hear that, man.
What have you won? Like, all you're doing is riding on, because the brand is going to, the brand every year is going to keep the Cowboy fans around because the brand is so big. They sell hope. But what have you done for me lately? Have you won a Super Bowl? When the last time you went to the playoffs, a couple years ago?
They went to the playoffs this year.
But what have you done? Have you put a ring in the case yet?
No.
Like, how long have we been screaming this since the 90s?
It's been a minute. Yeah, it's been a while. It's been over 20 years.
So they're just a team to me. I put the merit on them when you win the Super Bowl. That's just who I am.
Yeah, Ben.
And I love the Cowboys to death. I'm root for them every Sunday. I swear I do. I be throwing crap at the TV. I be.
It sounds like you're rooting for the Patriots.
No, I'm just telling you the truth. But the Patriots. Okay, right now, let me tell you this. Yeah. Right, if you say Cowboys, Patriots, who gonna win? Who got the best chance of winning the Super Bowl this year? Who would you say?
Let me get through the draft and free agency.
Yeah, let me call you back. All right, we're out of time. Like, you just went into a tunnel. Jason, thank you so much for being here, man.
Yeah, Jason Hatcher. Love y'all boys, man.
Appreciate it. We love you too, man. Jason Hatcher back with us. That was fantastic. I know everyone's going to be looking for a sports show now.
Absolutely.
You got to get that podcast going.
I'm out here, man. Whoever want to work with me, do a podcast, man. But I'm a cuss and stuff and drank booze and stuff like that.
Even better.
Hey, David Erd, hit me up, man. Drug free and all that, man. Hit me up, bro. I love you, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.